For the past 3 weeks, Damola, we have been looking at prospering after a lockdown. We looked at the man Noah. We looked at, just trying to examine so many things that could have happened to him inside that ark. Challenges and also things he might have faced with his family, with the animals, right in that ark. They were under a lockdown. We calculated it looking at scriptures from Genesis 6, 7, 8. Approximately, he was under lockdown with his family, wife, one wife, three sons and their wives, eight souls altogether for 1 year, 2 months. So we looked at so many things that could have happened. There are losses, loss of business, loss of family, loss of, even the, what's it called now? People apart from his family to interact with. So a lot of things we looked at, potential anxieties. Dr. Uche did a thorough job with us over the last 3 weeks. So looking at this study, I don't know if you can, you want to add anything. What do you think Noah and his family went through in that ark under lockdown, likened to what people can relate to now, because we've all been under a very long lockdown and then stepping out. And then we will look at some other things as people ask questions and as people contribute and comment. Yeah, just briefly, I'm putting you on the spot, as a man with a wife and children under lockdown. How's it been at the end?
For Noah, under the lockdown, and just looking at the lockdown that we've had recently, it was a change of routine for him because if you remember that for the previous 100 years, he's been building the ark. But I'm not sure if he's had that opportunity to live in it. I'm not even sure if they had electricity and if there would have been enough light in the ark. But thinking about it, I think it was a change of routine. It was with him, maybe used to have a large family, used to have meals and gatherings and all. Now he has to plan, he has to ration, he has to plan his time. They'll be seasick because I thought about it. If you go on the boat for 6 hours on the sea and just for the boat to for the ark to have rested on the mountain, that means it must have traveled for a whole year on very uneven waters before it rested. So looking at it, there were so many things that could have caused a lot of hassle, and then the fact that he had to live with his family, I believe he would have been instructing, guiding, looking into at what, thinking about his life, thinking about what he would do after the lockdown. I'm not sure. It would have been a very difficult time. That was what I was thinking, because this is the whole world being wiped out, and then he's now been left with just a few people, just that nuclear family, the family that he must have lost. Also, he must have been thinking about them. Maybe at some point, people have been banging on the door of the ark. There will have been noise and cries at the beginning of the lockdown. It's very difficult to process. So it's like this lockdown where people have lost people while in the lockdown, and you've had to process the losses, but still you can't still go out and help those people. So it would have been hearing cries of people he was familiar with while in the lockdown, but he couldn't step out to help them. It was stuck in that place. So I feel it must have been a very difficult time for him. And after a while, maybe he must have gotten used to the water. He may not. He will have lost like a control of time. I don't know how they measured time then. Maybe it was through the moon, but now he was locked in an ark, so he wouldn't have an idea of the length of days or nights that he's been in the ark. So it's similar to what we've been faced with. 6 months have gone really fast for those who are still locked down at home, and the 1 year of last year went really, really fast over the course of the lockdown. Just looking at parallels from what we're experiencing now and what happened to them, to him and his family back in those days.
Yeah, thank you for that. It must have been some kind of a traumatic experience because we read these things, and it's when we use the power of our imagination that we begin to comprehend, and also with the help of, the Holy Spirit to try to take us through that journey. But thank God we all survived. Our families, our wives and children, and talking about families and wives and children, at least for 1 year in the lockdown, we want to celebrate a family, the Patricks. Today is their 15th year wedding anniversary. So please, in the comment section, everyone, let's celebrate David and Ebonyiwa Adeola Patrick, 15 years under lockdown, as husband and wife. Marriage is like lockdown. You're locked down with your spouse, and you just have to learn to get on along. Imagining that act too, being stuck with his wife and the sons too with their wives. They just have to learn to dwell together. So, congratulations to the Patricks. We celebrate you 15 years wedding anniversary today. And also special, as we celebrate, also let's remember too, because today the funeral ceremony for one of our families in Love Assembly, the Oladimejis, Dr. Sheun, today his dad is being laid to rest far away in Nigeria. So we also send our condolence to them, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with them even at this time, today and tomorrow, and the days after. So these are parallels. These are things everyone can relate with. So tonight, thank you, Apostle Cruz. I will get back to you and bring you back. We check out all the questions and we address them together. So I want to just share briefly what I call the principles of prospering after a lockdown. The principles of prospering after a lockdown. Now, one of the things in life which we have to understand is that God is principled, and there are principles that govern almost everything in this life. We will see from scriptures. We will see reading through the entire Bible. There is a time to pray. There is a time where we just need to simply operate the simple instruction, the principles, the guidelines of life. We don't substitute prayers for principles. We don't substitute principles for prayers. Let me give us a quick example. There was a time Moses was leading a multitude, millions of people, and they were faced with the Red Sea, and behind them there was an army chasing them. The Egyptians were going to kill them, running hard after them. He got to the Red Sea and he prayed, cried out to God. And God simply told him, "What is that in your hand?" A rod. God had showed him that that rod was not an ordinary rod. God had started with him with that rod. God had showed him what that rod could do. He struck the rod one time on the ground, on the rivers. The rivers turned into blood. He threw the rod down. The rod turned into a snake. That was a supernatural thing God had given him. And God told him, "No, use that rod. It's in your hand already." There's a principle of the supernatural. When you stretch that rod, something will happen. So stop crying to me. Use the rod. Use that thing in your hand. So we all need to understand when we simply need to operate the principles of God. Prayers don't substitute principles. Another example, if that is a little bit too spiritual. The Bible says, train up a child in the way which he should grow. And when he's old, he will not depart from the way you've trained the child. The same Bible says that when you leave a child, the child left himself or herself, that child will bring shame to the parents. When you just neglect the child, you don't train the child, you don't guide the child, you don't instruct the child, you don't literally leave by example before a child, and you just let them be. Those are the principles of life. Don't replace praying for your child with training your child. The principle of training must not be replaced by prayers. Oh, I'm just praying for my children. I just pray for them. I just pray for them. I just pray. No, train them. Train. Be there. Be visible. Come alongside. Watch them. Let them watch you. Lead by your example. Don't pray when you should be training. So don't replace principles with prayers, basically. So the principles we're sharing tonight are things we see as Noah and his family began to follow that instruction to come out of the ark. The principle of how they restarted the new earth is what we'll be sharing. So, number one, like Apostle Cruz told us, that ark rested when they were under lockdown for 1 year and 2 months approximately. We see the ark resting on top of a mountain when we read that in Genesis chapter 8. Let me read and start Genesis chapter 8 and Genesis chapter 9 are where these principles we'll be sharing tonight are coming from. Genesis chapter 8, let me read from verse 1. Okay, I read from verse 1 and read down to verse number 4. Then I'm reading from the New King James Version. Remember Slido, join us. Love Slido. Throw in your questions, throw in your comments. And Facebook live comment on the live feed, you can also throw in your comments and we will be reading them. Right. So what do we see here? The Bible says, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters subsided. Verse 2, Genesis chapter 8, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from the heaven was restrained. And verse 3, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the waters decreased. Then, verse 4, the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Think about the storms that the rain brought, the torrential rain. Rain 40 days, 40 nights, nonstop. The whole earth flooded. Vegetation, everything gone. Human beings, animals, birds dying left, right, and center. And Noah and his family were on top of that stormy sea until they got to a place that the boat or the ark is just a mighty vessel, a ship. You know, we see them today, all those cruise liners. I'm telling you, we were looking at one today, and my wife and I was saying, wow, could this be where man got the inspiration to build large vessels, ships, cruise liners? Could it be from that story in Genesis we see about Noah? Probably, because you will see that that's the first time anything like a ship was built. And it was inspired by God because God gave Noah that dimension. But, you know, we're not focusing on that tonight. So on that stormy sea, finally, the ark rested on top of a mountain. We are looking at principles of prospering after a lockdown. They were right inside that place, locked down with animals. So the first thing we see there is that that ark, the lockdown, brought them into a new location. Where they were at the start of the pandemic, because we are looking at the parallel today, was not where they were at the end of the pandemic or when things eased, when they could now start coming out. So there was physically a new location, a change in location. They got to an unfamiliar territory. We see that in Genesis chapter 8. They ended up on top of a mountain, Mountain Ararat. And when you end up on a mountain and then you want to come out of the mountain, you will agree the first thing they had to do was to descend when you're coming down from a mountain. You will have to descend. You know, one of the first things we have to learn is this. When you start from top of the mountain and you want to step out into this new earth and start prospering, prosper means to go forward, you will have to first learn to go down. That's the first principle I'm sharing with us tonight. For you to prosper, for you to go forward, for you to have a new beginning, you must be ready to go down. Come down. Be ready to humble yourself. Now, humility, humbling ourselves, has to do with the state of our hearts, because that's the key. Remember, in this study, and if you've been following everything we've been looking at, the problem, why God sent that flood to destroy the whole earth, was because of the heart of man that was wicked. So humility is a thing of the heart. We need to learn to humble ourselves. So coming out of the ark, coming into the new earth, coming to prosper, be ready, first of all, to go down. And we will see something about going down also. Be ready, because you will descend from the mountain. You came out on top of the mountain. For you to begin to do things, you will descend from that mountain. It's just symbolic of humbling yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. So let's note that you must be ready to humble yourself, to descend from the mountain. That's number one, okay? Now, the state of the heart, that's just the focus of that. So humble yourself. Because all the while that storm was going on and all the trauma, you will agree that most people started seeking for answers. They started seeking for the supernatural. People now started crying out to God. Statistics show that more and more people were looking and attending online prayer meetings, online church services. Now, the lockdown is eased. Everybody's going about their business. There's a tendency that we forget about all these things. So your state of heart is very important. Maintain a humble heart. Right. So what happened? Before he stepped out of the ark, the Bible tells us the first thing Noah did was that he opened the window, okay? So the heart is the first thing, okay? Humble yourself. Be ready to humble yourself. God will not humble you. You will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Receive a new heart, okay? Now, when he was going to know when to step out of the ark, the first thing he did was he sent out a raven. A raven, like we learned, is an unclean bird. Unclean. It's just symbolic of the flesh. So before you step out to prosper, principle number two, get rid of the flesh. Everything unclean must go. Everything that is not clean. What do we mean by that? Anything that is not right before God. There's a scripture when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. He says, come out from amongst them. Don't touch the unclean thing. Over this lockdown, some things have been highlighted some people will identify with this. You're beginning to regret some things you probably did. You probably started seeing your life and you started seeing things that were not right, mistakes you've made. And you know, these are the things that are unclean. These are the things that are not right. So get rid of that. Don't go back and don't touch anything unclean. He sent the raven out. Then the next thing, for him to know the timing, he sent the dove out. The dove, like we learned, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So the third principle here, all right, is you must allow the Spirit to lead you. What do we mean? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Now, there's a principle about allowing the Holy Spirit. Don't move without the Spirit moving. Follow the leading of the Spirit. You see, there's something that happened in Genesis chapter 1, because we will link it with the next thing that happened. How do we get that principle? The Bible says in that Genesis chapter 8, it sent the raven out. The raven went out, it didn't come back. Verse 8, he sent the dove out. The dove went, came back. He sent the dove out again after 7 days. The dove went, came back. Then he sent the dove out. The dove now came back with a freshly plucked olive leaf. And then Noah knew by the dove, symbolic of the Holy Spirit giving you guidelines, giving us guidelines, that, oh, things have started to happen on the earth. But then verse 12 says, he waited yet another 7 days. Send the dove and the dove didn't come out. So you must wait and allow the Holy Spirit to move before you move. For those of us who are hearing that for the first time, and you, oh, what's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible talks about an earth that was without form. Confusion was on that earth. There was chaos. It was dark. The earth was without form. It was shapeless. There was darkness. There was confusion. And the Bible now says the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. But nothing still happened. So you will notice that when Noah sent the dove out and the dove returned, finally the dove didn't return, Noah didn't move immediately. What prompted his move? He waited to hear the voice of God. That is going to be the fourth principle. Third principle is follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Wait, don't move without the Holy Spirit moving first. But then you must wait to hear. Because after the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis chapter 1, nothing happened. Things began to take shape when God spoke. Can you see the similarity? Noah knew the waters had receded. He waited. He sent the dove. The dove did not return. But now Noah didn't step out immediately. The Bible now tells us, Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. It came to pass in the 601st year, first month, first day of the month, the waters were dried up. Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. Indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Verse 15, Genesis 8. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons' wives with you. He waited to hear the voice of God. Yes, the Spirit is stirring. Yeah, we need to move. It's time for us to go. But go out and do what? Wait for clear instructions. That's principle. I think that should be number five. You wait to hear God's instruction, the word of God. Wait to hear the word of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit is stirring. Yeah, we need to move. It's time for us. But move to do what? What are we going out to do? We must wait to hear what God is saying. Very, very key and very, very important. So I want to pause there, because the next things we are going to be sharing will be principle number 6, 7, 8. And we will now see. Okay, God said, go out. Go out and do what? The instruction is clear. Verse number 15. And 16 and 17 says, bring out every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful, multiply on the earth. What are we talking about tonight? How to prosper after a lockdown. How to prosper. The principles of prospering after a lockdown. So I'm going to pause here. And if somebody can go on the Slido, because it's participatory, and I don't know if someone is also putting comments on the Facebook Live. Can we recount what you are learning? So if you can recount this, and let's put these principles right on the Facebook. So let me just pause while we go through these questions. And then I will share the last part of the principles. So at this point, I'm going to bring Apostle Cruz back. Apostle Cruz, let's have you back. And if we can, if you can help us, okay? And let's see what are these things about that we've been sharing. So number one, I don't know if you've been taking notes. Principles of prospering after a lockdown. So the first thing we said was about where the ark settled.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I don't know, do you want to give us a quick recount, if you can, please?
So you talked about the fact that the ark settled on the mountain. And sometimes when you want to prosper, one has to come down from the mountain. And the mountain talks about humility. One has to be humble. It's when God humbles, and when we humble ourselves before God, that God actually lifts us up. But I was looking at what humility means, because there's a question on Slido pertaining to that. It said the general dictionary meaning says the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. The quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance.
Okay.
But the question on Slido now says, how do I humble myself? Is it not fake if I force myself to be humble?
That's a good question. How do I humble myself? Is it not fake if I force myself to be humble? The person has already answered the question themselves. If you fake it, then you are not humble.
Yes, sir.
If you fake it, you know you are faking it. So how do you humble yourself? Now, there's a very good analogy I learned some years ago. The word humble is from the word humus. Now, humus just talks about the soil. Now, when you look at when God was forming man, shaping man, God himself went down to the earth, to the soil, and formed the physical shape of mankind, and the Bible said God breathed into that humus, into that soil, and that soil became a living soul. So man, that word Adam is from the earth. That's what it literally means. So our bodies, we were made from the earth. So humbling ourselves means we go down to the earth. We go down to the basics. We are nothing without God. Because that clay, that humus, where we get the word human being from, was nothing without the breath of God. So humility, coming down, going down to the earth. You know, in worship, for example, a physical act when people, when we worship, we lie face down. We literally go on our knees in humble adoration. But we are looking at the heart. The real humility, like we said, is from the heart. So you first of all realize you are nothing without God. Outside God, you are nothing but mere dust. Dust we came, dust we return. So that is number one. Without God, I am nothing. That's how to humble myself. And secondly, I realize that I am who God says I am, and nothing more. You see, pride is when you think of yourself, when we think of ourselves more highly than what we are. Humility is when we actually think of ourselves the way God says we are. False humility is when you now try to fake it, to make yourself appear lower than who God actually says you are, because you are trying to impress people. So we need to recognize what it means. That's how I humble myself. God, without you, I'm nothing. What is it that I have if not for you? What is it that I've achieved in life outside of you? God, you are my all in all, and without you, I'm nothing. And I am who you say I am, because we at times think humility is, oh, you know, let's not just say who I am, you know, let's just be humble. No! When you think lower about who God says you are, that's not humility. That's false humility. I am who God says I am. Right? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, this my mortal physical body, I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above, never beneath. You see, that is who God says I am. I am marvelously made, fearfully, wonderfully made. That is who I am. You know, that is who I am. So you have to say who you are. That's humility, being yourself that God made you, your original self. Okay? I don't know if we have any other question. So, you know, just running through all the principles. So the next thing we talked about, yeah, about the humility part.
That we should do away with the flesh.
We must do away with everything unclean. Okay? Thank you for that. Third thing?
We have to wait for the Holy Spirit. The third one and the fourth one and the fifth one are very similar. So you said we wait for the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And then the fourth one is we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it was after the bread had gone out, even though the dove went away the next time. You were talking about us waiting, and then once we see the Holy Spirit move, then we move.
That's
so
right.
We do not move ahead of the Holy Spirit, but we move only after the Holy Spirit has instructed us to move.
Thank you. The Holy Spirit gives us the cue to move.
Yes.
But then one thing is very key, which is after that.
We need to wait to hear the word of God.
That's right.
Yes.
Clear instruction. Yeah. Holy Spirit said move. Where to? And when I move, what am I going to do? God spoke. The Holy Spirit moved in Genesis 1. Nothing happened until God spoke. The dove moved, as we see in the time of Noah. But until God said, go out of the ark, you and every animal, go and be fruitful. Then Noah stepped out. So that's the difference. I know they're similar. Okay? Let's start looking at the questions before.
There's another question, Pastor.
Okay.
And it says that why did Noah curse his grandson?
Okay, we will get there.
Yes.
We will get there because I don't want to run ahead because that will help us now to see the next set of principles. Okay.
Then, so there's another question on humility, sir.
Okay, let's look at that.
If I get this question properly, the person asked that, please, do you mean humbling myself? It's saying, God, I am humble.
Okay, I think I get that. So, for example, if I say, God, I am humble, does that mean I'm humbling myself? No. No. Let's not forget there's one thing God sees, nobody sees.
Our hearts.
Our hearts. That's where God is always looking at. So it's not me saying I am humble that means I am indeed humble. It's God himself seeing in my heart that I have surrendered. My heart is fully surrendered. I am prostrate. I am nothing, God, without you. It's not just saying it. It's that my heart itself has come under that conviction and reality and accepted that indeed I am nothing without God. Jesus said something in John chapter 15. He says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. He says, he that abides in me and I in him is the one who will bring forth fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. It's a place of total surrender, consecration, our hearts, that God himself sees that, yes, indeed, this individual is nothing truly without me. So that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, let's run through and then we take all the other questions as they come. I don't know if there are comments on the Facebook Live. Okay, comment here says to acknowledge that we are nothing without God is humility. All right, okay, thank you for number four. It says wait to hear, yeah, clear instructions. Okay, please, let's keep the comments coming. Okay, Facebook comments, you can please. We are looking at principles of prospering after lockdown. And on Slido, you can contribute. You can ask your questions anonymously by going on Slido.do, SLI.do, hashtag LOVSLIDO, love Slido. All right. So let's move on. So the next thing we see is that Noah brings out everything. So that is going to be principle number four. Everything that survived the lockdown with you. What is it that we're going to do? The Bible says it brought every animal that and bird that was alive. Okay? So everything that survived that flood. We see that principle, Genesis 8, verse 17. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you. Thank you for that comment. Humility is different from stupidity. It is a personal decision that should be made by everyone before situation of life humbles us. Thank you, Elizabeth Adeyinka, for that. Okay, so that principle number seven we're looking at now. Please, if the tech media can display Genesis chapter 8, verse 17, and then we'll look at the comments again. It says here that bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So, the principle here is everything that survived the lockdown with you should be your focus, not what you lost during the lockdown. during the lockdown, people lost businesses. You know, unfortunately, sadly, some of us lost loved ones. We're not saying forget about them and move on with life. That would be very inhuman and inhumanly speaking. But what we're saying, there's something Jesus said about the dead. Let the dead bury their dead. He's not saying dismiss the dead, you know, the legacy, the loved ones. No, the principle there is that, see, for this, for you to prosper, go forward. You don't go forward by looking backwards. That's the principle. So what is alive? What is living? What survived the lockdown with you is what you need to go forward, to prosper. Prosperity itself means to go forward. So if you're looking at, oh, I lost my business, I lost my family, I lost this, I lost that, you will end up in depression. You will end up in bitterness. So to go forward, look at what is alive. What survived? The little jar of oil, the little you have left, that's what God will prosper. The principle of what you have in your hand, not what you wish you had. Stop wishing, oh, I wish my so-and-so, my uncle was still here for me. I wish, no. They've all left you during the flood. The lockdown locked everything out of your life. What do you have left with you? That's the set. This is, I think that should be number 7. Okay? Is that number 7? Anyway, if you're counting, but whether we're not counting, that's it. So don't focus on what is dead. Focus on the living. Okay? Focus on what is living. You want to go forward. You want to prosper after the flood. Principles of, after the lockdown, focus on what you have left. Some people have lost jobs. Don't keep dwelling on the job you lost. Oh, you lost a business opportunity. Stop living in the past of that glory and the glory of the past. Paul shared a principle, forgetting the things that are behind. Let us press ahead. Let's look forward. You don't see a Usain Bolt who wins a 100 meters race. He doesn't run that race and becomes a champion, a winner, looking backwards. In fact, there was an analysis the first time Usain Bolt, a man called Usain Bolt, the fastest, once upon a time, the fastest man in the world. The first time he ran and broke the world record, I think ran 9.8 something seconds, you know, which was unprecedented then. The first time he ran that race, he was running. Of course, he was looking ahead. But when he got to the finishing tape, he looked back briefly and was pounding his chest like that and raised his hand up. They analyzed that moment he looked back, he lost his momentum, that he would have actually broken that record that day, you know, more than he did. You don't look back. Focus on the living. So that's that principle. We need to understand that. So if Noah steps out, what's the first thing? Principle number 8. He built an altar. First, we see that in Genesis and chapter 8, he built an altar. The Bible says, verse 20, Genesis 8, 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord. We can't overemphasize that. That altar is symbolic. It's just a place where, I'm not playing with words, but to help people remember, where humanity meets with divinity, a place where you say, God, if not for you, I'm raising this altar. It's a remembrance. He builds this altar. That's the first thing he does. So you step out, you want to prosper the kingdom of God first. Jesus said it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added. So you've got to, you and I have got to put God first. First. So build an altar. It's got to be God first. Seek ye the kingdom of God first, not last, not after, not alongside. So it's like God, it's a new beginning, and it's you and I. So that's that principle. Now, the next thing we see, the Bible said, he took off every clean. Now, this is very interesting, Apostle Bruce. Very, very interesting. Don't miss this. He took two things there. He built the altar. You see, he could have built the altar and left it there. But he now offered, he took of every, know that word every, clean bird, clean animal. That's another principle. What is that symbolic of? Note the word clean, because you can offer what is unclean. There were unclean birds and there were unclean animals. But he took the clean ones. That talks about the right offering to God. What do we mean by the right offering? You see, there's this poster we used to see, very funny, but it conveys a very deep message. They showed the picture of a man who's pulling out the pockets, holes of his, the holes of his pocket, of a trouser. So he dips his hand and pulls out, you know what the pocket of a trouser looks like. And the man brings out a penny. They show a piece of a coin in his hand. And the poster says, give to God what is right, not what is left. Give to God what is right, not what is left. The first thing a Noah does is to offer the right offering, because God has instructed ceremonial offering should be clean animals and clean birds, not unclean animals or unclean birds. He could have offered the unclean animals. And the Bible says, emphasis, every clean animal, every clean bird. That is symbolic of the right offering and everything. You offer everything to God. A burnt offering is 100%, not 10%, not 50%. No, he took out of every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered them. So the right offering, that's the principle. Do you know what disqualified Cain, the brother of Abel? We see that story, the first murderer in the Bible. Cain kills his brother Abel, because Abel, the Bible says, he brought out of his flock and offered to God from his flock a burnt offering. Let's go to that, because that's the first place we actually see the principle of burnt offering. Very, very interesting. Genesis chapter 4. We all know the story, and if you don't know the story, please read it. Our time, in another 15 minutes, we'll be rounding up, because it's question and answer tonight. Okay? So it says, let's read from Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Then she bore again, this time his brother. Okay, let's read from verse 1. Adam and his wife Eve conceived, bore Cain, and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep. Look, note this. Abel, keeper of sheep. But Cain, a tiller of the ground. Nothing wrong with that. And if you're going to give an offering, bring an offering of what you have. You see, I used to think before that it was because the other offered an animal. That's why God rejected Cain. Until I believe by the Spirit of God, I saw what I'm about to show us. This principle of giving the right offering, and it's got to be complete, every, total, 100%. So Abel was the keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, okay, to the Lord. Abel, verse 4, also brought, look at it, look at that word, of the firstborn. Firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. What was the difference? That it is there. Abel brought the first of his flock. He didn't bring what was left. He brought what was right. Cain brought offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. You know, some theologians say, I don't want to go deep into that, that well, he brought from the ground that God had cursed. That maybe that was why God rejected. But excuse me, the animals feed on the ground. So they feed from, the animals also grow from what is grown on the ground. So is it that they too grew, partook from cursed fruits and vegetation? So it's more of the quality. He brought a burnt offering to God. He gave totally. He gave what was right, not what was left. So that's that principle there. All right? And the next thing we see, another principle, is look at this. Well, just as a warning, never offer any unclean offering to God. He didn't offer any unclean animal or unclean bird. So anything that is not right, don't offer to God. God first, and then it was a burnt offering. Offer everything. If you are bringing anything to God, know that, God, I am giving you my first, my best, everything. Now, there's a principle, as is just coming back to me, that my father taught me, even though it was more of like, you know, some people may say it's culture, but I want to look at the spiritual parallel to God. When I've earned my first salary, of course, my dad sent me to schools, paid my school fees, you know, God bless him, gave me a good education, everything, never wanted me to suffer while I was in school, together with all my siblings, in his own humanly best possible means. So my first job, I got my salary. And of course, you know, fresh from uni, everything, first job, you want to go buy things and, you know. So my dad called me and said, oh, you've earned your first salary, so what did you do with it? Oh, I said, yeah, but he said, no. Bring that first salary to me and let me bless you. Not that he wanted the money. He said, no, bring everything and let me bless you. I said, wow, I didn't know that. So I said, well, I've touched this one. So I said, Dad, what I'll do, my next salary. So immediately I earned the next month's salary. I took everything, took it to my dad, and he pronounced a fatherly blessing on me. Now, what's the spiritual parallel here? Bring your first Look at what Abel did. The first fruit, firstborn of his flock was what he gave to God. That's the principle. So that's my earthly father. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And the Bible says, honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you. I believe I'm enjoying so many things today because I never violated that principle of honoring my parents. And that brings us to that question. Why did Noah curse his grandson? The grandson he cursed was the son of Ham, called, what's his name now?
Canaan.
Sorry?
Canaan.
Canaan. He cursed his grandson because the son dishonored him. Very simple. Yeah, good to see you, Tembo. God bless you, Tembo. We can see you. Thanks for joining us tonight. You know, he dishonored. There's a spiritual principle. You dishonor your parents. Number one, the Bible says that's the first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? Two things. I tell people, he said that you may live long. Second one, that it may be well with you. Look at it. You dishonor your parents, the reverse is a curse. You may not live well, and I'm telling you, I've seen that. I have seen people who have dishonored their parents, father and mother, and they may appear rich, but they don't have a home. They may appear okay. They've acquired degrees and all that, but they are not happy. Their children are wayward because what you sow, you will reap. And that brings us to the last principle I want to share that Noah did here. Last principle. God gave Noah in Genesis chapter 8 a principle. Please don't miss this. After everything we've highlighted, listen to this last principle. Okay? God said, you know, it was after he offered the best that God blessed, pronounced the blessing. The Bible said he built an altar. He offered every clean, the right offering. The consequences, God smelled a sweet smelling savor, aroma, and the Bible said, God now said, I will never curse the ground for man's sake, which means the ground that was cursed before, the earth will start yielding the best for you. Why? Because you honored God. You honored your heavenly Father with your burnt offering. The altar, yes, you can build an altar and still not offer anything there. You can build an altar and still offer the wrong offering. The right, the entirety of everything you are, you own. You say, God, this is you. Without you, I'm nothing. Remember, we started with our hearts, humility. A heart that says, God, without you, I'm nothing, is a heart that readily will be ready to offer their lives as a burnt offering to God. Holy, the Bible says, acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. When we read Romans chapter 12. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, a burnt offering, totally. When God has your heart, God has everything. He has your pocket. He has your property. He has everything, and the ground, this earth, will begin to yield. You begin to prosper. Whatever you do will prosper. That is the principle. So God reversed that curse because of that burnt offering. And it's something we have to learn to do constantly. It's not a one-off. Everything, every time, raise an altar. You get a promotion, use it as an altar. You get anything, a blessing of a child, offer that child, dedicate everything totally, completely to God. We forget God after prosperity. And that was the beginning of the downfall, sadly, of Noah. Now, final principle. God now said, I'm giving you, man, one principle for as long as this earth remains. This is deep, Apostle Cruz. Number one, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. What God was saying is, listen, mankind, listen, Noah. Seasons will come, seasons will go. There will be dry seasons, there will be cold seasons, there will be winter, there will be summer, depending on what part of the world. As far as this earth is, seasons will always change. Change will always be constant. You see, people struggle with change, but we don't realize God has given us the key. Irrespective of whatever changes, there's something that will always guarantee you a harvest, prosperity, and that is seed time. Listen, the seed time is what determines the harvest. It says seed time and harvest. Irrespective of change in seasons, winter, cold. You know, the Bible says that a sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Proverbs chapter 20. Therefore, in harvest, he will beg. So you refuse to recognize that God will always give you seed. Whatever you have, always know that with from the humility and depth of your heart. God, whatever I have is because of you. Whatever I have, it's to your glory. Seed time and harvest. That is deep. You are the one. You and I are the ones who determine our harvest. That's what God is saying. So if you are harvesting nothing, it's because
sowed nothing.
You did nothing. You sowed nothing. Galatians captures it very well. When Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. So I am the one who determines, this is what God is saying here, what I reap. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you sow corruption, you will reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit. So, I'm not seeing results. What are you sowing? We know that thing has been bastardized because of the so-called gospel, prosperity gospel. No, prosperity itself is governed by principles. That's why tonight we're talking about the principles of prospering after a lockdown. If you are just joining, please backtrack. You can play this after this and follow those simple principles. You violate these principles, you will miss the harvest. So what happened? When we jump to Genesis chapter 9, we see a drunk Noah. We see a Noah who started cursing. Go and check what went wrong. Some of these principles we shared now were missing. We never see a Noah building an altar again. You see that Genesis chapter 9 time will fail us? It's years captured in that Genesis chapter 9, because we see them multiply. His children started having more children. He began to plant a vineyard. He began a business. He began to prosper. The vineyard grew. Oh, abundance started coming. The earth, because God has said it, he blessed them, he empowered them, like we learned last week. What it means to be blessed is that God has given you the power to prosper. He empowered you. So whatever you're empowered with, go and use it. That's why he went down to the earth and planted a vineyard. Go and look at what he said. Of course, it will prosper because God had blessed the earth. Whatever you plant in it, seed time, harvest. But principles were violated. We never see a Noah raise an altar again. We never see a Noah, hear of Noah, offer burnt offerings to God. We see a Noah who got carried away with prosperity. I'm saying this to everyone on this live broadcast or you're watching. Please go back and listen to all these principles and see if there's anything you're violating. The very first one, when our hearts are lifted, shifted away from God, when we don't humble ourselves anymore, when our hearts is merry with surfeited, drunkenness, reveling, and our hearts have departed. It's just that humility where you don't depend on God anymore. The earth is yielding for you. You planted a vineyard, you're prospering. Everything is happening. You're having children. You know, Apostle Cruz, let me say this in closing. I studied something and it dawned on me. I was telling my wife, 8 souls went into that ark. They were there for 1 year, 2 months. 8 souls came out. They didn't even have children when they were inside that ark. I'm saying this to encourage somebody. They could have had children. Come on. They came out, but they came out empowered now to be fruitful. Listen, somebody listening to this, it's your time. It's your season. Follow these principles. Seed time is now. Seed time does not have seasons in the principles of God. You keep. The Bible says, don't be weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you don't faint. 8 souls went there. They came out. They didn't have babies. It was after they came out of the ark. Vroom. To God be all the glory. Okay? Let's just quickly round up now. God bless the men and Noah and his sons, our men. You are all blessed. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. And let me add, not only the men, please, the women are blessed. Men, women, we are all blessed. Thank you for that comment. And I'm trying to see, do we have any comments on Facebook Live while I just quickly go on that? Slido, I think we've covered everything on Slido. Yes, Holy Spirit, we're ready. Speak to us and thank you for speaking to us tonight. Yeah, any comments on the live feed before we hand over to the media team?
None, sir. I think we're...
Yes, thank you for joining us tonight. Somebody asked a question. So what kinds of seed do I sow? Listen, whatever you expect to harvest is what you should sow. And we're not talking about money because we limit everything to money. You can sow kindness. You can sow goodwill. You can look out. You can sow forgiveness. You can sow mercy. Please, Apostle Cruz.
You can sow love.
You can sow love. Yeah. And love is not the feeling we're talking about.
Yeah. Pastor, something just the verse that you read when he said that Noah was uncovered, and it just struck me that sometimes when we get prosperous, and it's one thing that we need to look at after this lockdown, when we become very successful, when there was nakedness for Adam and Eve in Genesis when they sinned, God was the one that covered them.
Well, they first of all attempted to cover themselves.
Attempted to cover themselves, and then God now covered them. And one of the things that struck me when we're reading that verse is sometimes when we become too very successful and we don't humble ourselves, and we get drunk in that success.
Come on.
We leave ourselves uncovered. We step out from the covering of God, and we become naked, and we become open to the wiles of the enemy. And it's one of the things that we need to be very careful about, even in this season, as the world is trying to find its way and just get out of this lockdown. Don't uncover yourself. Don't step into a place where God, who is your covering, is no longer there, where you step out of God and become naked.
Because of the prosperity. And prosperity. Thank you very much, Apostle Cruz. I think on this note tonight, let's just pray. Remember, prayers don't replace principles. The principles we've learned tonight, God, Holy Spirit, help me that I'm not a forgetful hearer, but I go and do. Amen. And do. I don't try to cover with prayers what I should be doing with my action. If God says, love your wife, love your spouse, don't cover it with prayers. You go do it. If God is saying, go and forgive that person, don't say, I will pray for them. Forgive them in your heart and do what God says. Go and bless that person. Go and buy that person a gift. Go and do something. Principle, go and sow that seed. You determine what you want to harvest. God is not mocked. And right now, it starts with us having a new heart so that we can prosper on this new earth. Father, may we never forget.
Amen.
Altars with the right offering unto you. Lord, I rededicate myself and I pray for everything I am, everything I have. Please, people, join in this prayer and let's pray a prayer of agreement. I dedicate everything I am, everything I have to you. Without you, I am nothing. I am nothing. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As you have spoken to me and through me, Lord, help me that my life will be a living sacrifice to you. And I pray, Lord, for my brother Damola too, that the things we've heard and shared and you've spoken to us and even revealed more, may we live by them.
Amen.
And glorify your name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.